and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, dear friends, I'm just going to give a few brief words. I'm not going to focus on the Passion today. I just want to focus on the reality of the preparation for the Passion, which is Palm Sunday, and that is the ceremony, much like, in fact, we reflect, much like most of the artwork in the church, the ceremony, the colours, they all are teaching us something. The priest started it with the vestments in red, red signifying our Lord's passion and also our Lord's victory, because the red of the martyrs, their victory. And our Lord is the ultimate victor. Our victories are only insofar as they are connected with his victory over sin and death and his triumph. And these palms signify that victory, that triumph, and in union with our Lord. And this, the palm concept goes back even in the Old Testament, where you see the Maccabeans come with their palms as signs of their victory over the enemy. And also the Romans would also use this emblem, this symbolism of a victory through the sign of the palm branch. And it's for us that we carried it in procession, our sign of our victory. And it's very interesting that this palm is blessed. So we take it home. It brings a blessing and a protection to our homes. And later on, we hand it in. We hand it back into the church, and it's burnt. And it's burnt, and it's made into ashes, which is placed again on your forehead. And in the sign of victory, again, the sign of the cross, a sign of our perpetual victory in Christ, which will ultimately lead, hopefully, to our victory with him in heaven. But what's interesting in the reading for Palm Sunday in the Gospel talks about our Lord's journey towards Jerusalem. Our Lord is coming from Bethany. Bethany means the house of ripe figs. That's where Mary Magdalene, Martha, and Lazarus lived. These were the signs of the first fruits of repentance. But then he will go from there through Bethpage. Bethpage, symbolizing the place, means a place of unripened figs. And our Lord will come past this place. And as he passes by, he will curse the fig tree. Why? Because he did not bear the fruit that he wanted. And it's a symbolism of the people of Israel. They did not come and bring forth overall fruits of repentance. And what's interesting about this is the journey that our Lord makes. And today on Palm Sunday, I don't know if you've ever wondered, how is it that these people happen to all be there at the temple at this time? Why are so many Jews gathered in Jerusalem at this time? Well, we know, firstly, that they were preparing for the Feast of the Passover, but that doesn't answer why were they there on this particular day in such large numbers. Well, they were there in such large numbers on this day because this was the day that the Jews would select the lamb without blemish, that they were going to use for the sacrifice. And what's profound is our Lord, who is the ultimate Lamb of God, he will come in triumphant procession. And he will come proclaiming, allowing them to proclaim him as the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God. And all the lambs that were there, they all prefigured, they all represented our Lord. And all the lambs that were slaughtered from the very beginning of the Jewish sacrifices till now, they only had value or meaning in as much as they pointed to the sacrifice of the ultimate Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes. And this lamb was chosen by the people without blemish, and it was taken into their homes for 4 days before the sacrifice. Our Lord would, for the next 4 days, he would preach in his father's home, in the temple, preparing the hearts of the people for the sacrifice that he would make. And he would be in his father's house. What a beautiful reality our Lord is bringing forth to us in this aspect. What's interesting is our Lord, he allows them, in this aspect of the gospel, he allows them to proclaim him as the Messiah. And yet in the past, he would run away every time they claimed to make him, honor him in some way. He would hide himself or run away. At this occasion, our Lord doesn't run away. But at the same time, notice what's going on in the background. His enemies are plotting for his destruction. His enemies are working about how to put him to death. They're obviously envious, jealous. And so our Lord also doesn't stop them either. The two realities taking place. They're proclaiming him as the Messiah. And at the other hand, his enemies are working to put him to death. And our Lord doesn't hinder their plans. Our Lord doesn't hinder the plans of the evil. And he doesn't hinder the work of the good either. Or at least externally appearing to be good in proclaiming him as their Messiah. Our Lord will fulfill the prophecy spoken by Isaiah and also by several other prophets in the Old Testament who speak of our Lord entering Jerusalem on an ass. Rejoice, says Zechariah, the prophet, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king, he says, will come to thee, the just and the Saviour. He is poor and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And we might say, why did our Lord choose two particular different animals? Why the ass and the colt? Why not one? Well, the ass signifies the Jews. They were bound and tied down by the old law. The colt signifies the pagans. Pagans who were not under the yoke of the law, but who would be placed under subjection. And this colt is miraculously tamed by our Lord, signifying that our Lord will tame the pagan nations and he will bring them under his sweet yoke and law, and they will embrace that that cross, that reality, freely of their own choice. And this is what they symbolize and signify for us. Our Lord, as he enters Jerusalem, he gets off the ass. In other words, the old law is coming to an end. And now our Lord is opening the work of salvation to all men. But it comes through the Jews, through the Jewish nation. They were the instrument God chose to bring the mission, the work of God to the world. And it's through these. And who would bring these two beasts to him? John and Peter. And Peter and John, Peter signifies faith and John signifies charity. It's through the faith and charity of our Lord that we come to eternal life. It's through these mystical realities that we are given the grace. And what a grace that we are given today. But what becomes, we can say, what becomes of this triumphal entry is something that is... for us, a bit of joy, but also fear and dread. And that is these people today who call our Lord Messiah, Son of David. Tomorrow, the same people will say, crucify him, crucify him. And here, commenting on this, Bishop Anziani, a great commentator on Scripture, says that the acclamations were sincere, but without depth. The people would abandon him in a few days later and would cry, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. It would be a worthy and fruitful meditation, this one, concerning the fickle nature of human praise. It is repeated many times in history. Those who are today in power may easily find themselves tomorrow exiled. It is a dreadful error to seek anything in the praise and acclamation of men. Christ, in accepting this praise, does no more than fulfill the will of his Father. Our Lord knew the hearts of those who were praising him. Our Lord knew that in a few days they would betray him. And this is what we see today. The world accepted the gospel, and today they have rejected the gospel. Today we have said we have no God, no king, no ruler, but the government. And we have shaken off the yoke of Christ and embraced the tyranny of government. And it's a pause and cause for us to reflect. Today we have lost our perspective. We've lost our focus. And we no longer, and there are very few Catholics, priests or bishops today who judge things through the right standard. And the right standard is our Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it's mathematics, geography, history, science, medicine, anything, if you don't judge it through Jesus Christ, you lose the perspective, you lose the focus, and it becomes for you in the end something quite detrimental. Today we have many learned people in many fields, and we have advancements in science, technology, whatever you want. But look at how perverse, how blind people have become. We don't even know what gender we are anymore. We're that stupid. And yet, all the scientific advancements that you want. But you see what I mean? Without the right perspective, without the right optic, it becomes actually not only no longer something good, but we use it for something wicked. And that's what unfortunately, we are doing today. We have used things which in themselves are no doubt good, but we have used them for wicked because we have lost our focus, our perspective. And this is what Palm Sunday points us out to. The beautiful aspect, yes, of our Lord, but the danger for us to give our Lord a lip service. And today, really, the Catholic Church and all religions as a whole, they only give our Lord a lip service. Because today we no longer even have the courage, the integrity to call a spade a spade. The world is wickedness all around us, and we act like it's not so bad, it's okay. We remain silent on some of the most obvious things. And we can see the extent to which then our Lord is betrayed. And you know, you'll see later on Pontius Pilate. He says he's an innocent man, and then he allows him to be crucified. Can you reconcile the two? No, you can't. You can't. Injustice, and then in the face of an honest and holy man, you can't. But at the end of the day, it's because we ought not to. We ought not to reconcile them. That we must be honest, have the integrity to see through the evil of this world. And at the same time, and this is the hard aspect, to have the courage to stand firm. And that's not easy. We have the palms today symbolizing that courage, that hope. And our courage is not in ourselves. It's in our Lord. Our goodness is not in ourselves. We are not that good. And we're honest. That's why we go to confession. Because we know that we are not that good. And it's not a bad thing that we have the courage to go to confession. That does take courage. It's a good thing. We can acknowledge the honesty that I'm not good. I'm weak. It's our Lord who is good. He is my hope. He is my strength. Without him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things that God asks me to do. And what does he ask me to do? He asks me to be faithful. And you know, Our Lady before the foot of the cross, in my final words to you today, she is simply standing there. Our Lord doesn't ask her to do much, but she's standing there faithful before the foot of the cross. And our Lord may not ask you to do much. He's not asking you to take on the government. He's not asking you to take on the world. He's asking you just to be firm, to be faithful, to stand upright in our time. And that's what our Lord is asking us. He might not ask in a lot, but he's asking just to hold firmly to that palm of victory, our faith and our hope, which requires of us courage in this world. The courage and the grace to see the world for what it is. It doesn't mean we despise the world or the people in the world. It doesn't mean we hate the government. It just means that we see it for what it is. And remember, the people who sang Hosanna to the Son of David and next week sang Crucify Him, they were not pagans. They were the believers. They were the ones professing to believe in God. They were not what you would call wicked people. They were religious, devout people. But they're the ones that would next week say, crucify him. And today we see the same thing. Who is crucifying our Lord today? Sorry, it's not the government. It's the bishops. It's the priests, the lay people who have betrayed our Lord. And a number of these politicians are Catholics. Let's be clear about that. But who has betrayed the world today are religious nations. Europe, a religious nation, full of millions of Catholics. What do they stand for? The greater bulk of them, their people, the leaders, their priests, their bishops, traitors. They have betrayed our Lord. That's why I say it's easy to carry the palm, but it's very hard to remain faithful to our Lord, to stand up against the tide. And just to stand there and be firm. Let us pray Our Lady of Sorrows to grant us this grace, to stand firm with the palm of victory in our hands, so that together with her we come to its ultimate victory in that kingdom which has no end forever in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.